Hi, I'm Nikki from Teaching Autism, and welcome to the Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. Are you an autism or special education professional? Are you a teacher or therapist looking for support and new ideas? You may even be a parent, family member, or carer. This podcast is perfect to help you find out more information, support, and get some of your questions answered. Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode on my Teaching Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. I am so excited to welcome you back for another episode on our podcast. Today I'm talking all about the end of the year and effect that it can have on us and our students too. Right now, most of us are winding down for the end of the year, and very soon we'll be having time off for our summer school vacation. I think as a teacher or education professional, you're probably lying to yourself if you're not looking forward to that summer break just a little bit. I have always loved the school year and working with my students and seeing them every day. But by the time it comes to the end of the year, those last 2 to 3 weeks are so tough. I think we can all agree that the school year, it seems longer every year. And we put so much of our time and energy into our students the whole year. But by the time those last 2 to 3 weeks of the year come round, we're not just physically exhausted, we're mentally and emotionally exhausted too. This time of the year, I always avoid teaching any new skills because your students are probably already feeling so excited or even agitated at the looming summer holidays. And chances are, if you're teaching skills that they may not work on over the summer, they'll probably forget these by the time they come back to school. Instead, this is when I pull out my trusty, ready-made text boxes, my life skills activities, and fun afternoons out in our garden. First up, my task boxes. I always have so many of you reaching out to me, especially on my Instagram, when you see my task boxes to find out more about them, what's in them, how do I use them. Task boxes literally changed my life. I have those rainbow photokeeper storage boxes that you can get from Michaels, and I have at least 12 of them because I use one for every month of the year. And even though school is closed for the summer holidays, I still make July and August ones. Why? Because I like to be prepared and super organized. These are fun activities that I can mix in during June and September if I don't use them over the summer. Or I can send some home with the children to work on. Or if we do a summer school, I have all those task boxes ready to use. Each month, I have a minimum of 10 task boxes set up and they're all ready to go and be used by the students. This makes them perfect for end of the year planning. I prep the whole year of my task boxes at the start of every year. I write in a lesson plan ready for those last 2 weeks based on the task boxes that I intend to use. Because I think we can all agree that at the start of the year, we are fresh and ready to do all the things. But come this time of the year, lesson plans are way down on my to-do list. So by doing this ready, doing that back-to-school time when you're feeling motivated and at your best, it just means that you've just got to quickly print them and it's done. The life skills activities that I use all year round also come out during these last few weeks of school. I want my students to really work on these life skills and take them home with them to use over the summer. I am all about teaching functional skills to my students. And again, I do this at the start of the year and I can just add into my lesson plans closer to the time. Our afternoons are pure chill time. Well, as much as my students can chill. Providing just open-ended choice is too much for my students. They cannot cope with having endless opportunities. And some of them really struggle with choosing. So we have directed choice, which means they get a choice of 2 to 3 different choice activities that we provide them with, and that's it. By doing this and limiting the choice, it makes it easier for them to make their choice for what they want to do. If the weather is nice, we always go outside to play in the afternoons. My students come in with a change of clothes, a swimming costume, towel, sun cream, and the necessary safety items like sun hats and glasses. In our garden area, we have a paddling pool, a sandpit, and a water slide, and we'll even use water bombs. My students are taught that we throw these on the floor or at the wall, but never at each other. And I'm pleased to say we have never had an issue with these. Some of my students just like to hold the water bombs. They like the way that they feel. where others love to throw them at the floor and see the marks that they leave. But best of all, they help to cool my students down, especially in the hot weather. Here in the UK, during summertime, it can be quite common to have rainy weather and weather where we just don't want to be outside. So for this, we do some directed choice inside the classroom instead. This will usually consist of a sensory tray, a theme tooth tray, and watching a movie on our Apple TV. I know a lot of people don't like doing this, but we speak to our children's parents and we find out directly from them what they are happy with. They all agree that come those last few weeks of the year, their children are exhausted. They'd rather them chill out in the afternoons because it means they go home feeling fresher too. We also mix it up, and if we have a movie on Monday afternoon and Tuesday afternoon still isn't that sunny, we'll have story time or we'll go to the sensory room. We like to make these afternoons really calming and relaxing for the students, but not just for them, for us staff too. This time of the year is probably when you are going to see a lot more behaviours, and it's probably not anything that you've done. It's just that your students are about to have their whole routine taken away from them. Some of them may understand what's coming up, and others may not have any understanding about what's happening. So it's important to bear this in mind if we are looking at lots of behaviours. First, look at the function of the behaviour. Is it a new behaviour or is it an old one that's resurfaced? Speak to that student's family. Are they seeing the same behaviour at home? Look at patterns. How long has the child been at your school? Can you look back at this time last year? Did these behaviours come out then? Is it the weather? To find out more about behaviour management and specifically about functions of behaviour, head back to my previous podcast episode where I talk with Cassie from Adventures in Behaviour all about behaviour management and the functions of behaviour too. The summer holidays provide a lot of uncertainty for our students, and this can make so many of our students nervous. While some of our children love to be at home, they're carefree, doing what they want, some of our other children really like the routine of school. They like coming to school every day. They know what's happening. They know what to expect. But all of this is about to be taken away from them. And the summer holidays are so long. It can be an extremely anxious time for those children who just want to be back in school. And they may not even understand why they aren't going to school. So what can we do to help prepare our students for the end of the year? First, provide a visual countdown for your students. Make it appropriate for their level of understanding. Each day, mark off the days so that your students can see the summer holidays approaching. Encourage their families to do the same at home. It does not have to be one of those big Pinterest and Instagram worthy displays. It can literally just be a visual calendar. I like to include different special activities on days that we do them in the lead up to summer. Like when we go on our annual trip to the beach or the farm. It gives them something else to look forward to and to recognise time passing. Next is to teach your students about what the summer holidays are. My students love stories and interactive PowerPoints, so I combine these and work on them together with my students. They help my students to understand what happens during the summer holidays. They provide a lot of comfort to my students. My students, like most autistic students, are very visual learners, so a social story is really helpful for them, and you can find the one that I use linked in my show notes too. Work with your students' families to provide them with visual resources to use at home with their child. It could even be that you send home some of your students' favourite work activities, like adapted books or their communication book, especially if you'll be making new ones next year. This will help to keep them busy throughout the holidays. It will provide them with a bit of school, and at the same time, it will mean they can communicate with their families. Find local autism-friendly events that are going on and send information on these home to parents. I know that we are strapped for a lot of time, especially towards the end of the year, but use your team or ask a member of staff in the whole school if they wouldn't mind researching it, and then send the info to everyone in an email to print out and send home. These strategies have all worked really well for me over the years with my students. However, I think it's safe to say that we all know how different each of our students can be. I hope you'll find some of these tips and strategies helpful to use with your students. Do you have any strategies that work well to help your students prepare for the end of the year? Let us know by commenting on this podcast, which you can find on our website, teachingautism.co.uk/podcast or send us a message. I hope the end of the year goes smoothly for you all and that you, your staff and your students all have a relaxing and well-deserved summer holiday off from school. Thank you for listening to another one of my podcast episodes. I appreciate every single one of you that tunes in, and I can't wait to speak to you again soon.